Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Chris Russell will be on the show at 1 at the latest on the Redskins. Injury updates. No Rob Kelly, looks like, for the foreseeable future. Will Compton could be out, but for how long? They got backups getting hurt now and third stringers having to start. They're going to have to sign a running back off somebody's practice squad that's probably going to get a carry or two this coming week. It's about to be Samaje Perine time. So we'll get to those things with Russell next hour. Also, want to get to the Wizards coming off of their win and the Capitals who play tonight. That's all coming up this segment on the Blitz. Let's kick it off. Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch. Let's start with the Rob Kelly update. How long will he be out, and what's it mean for Samaje Perine?
Yeah, and you can tell right away when he went down, this is not a bounce-back-in-a-week injury. He's going to be out for a little while. How long, to be determined, but probably, I mean, best guesses here are at least a few games, probably at least through that, you know, that Dallas game on the Thursday night there. So Samaje Perine's a guy I don't know that anybody's seen enough to be fully encouraged by that so far this year. He's had a couple times where he's fumbled the ball too, kind of shades of Matt Jones there. They have not been able to find a running back. They've been after this for a long time. They've used third-round draft picks on Matt Jones and Samaje Perine, and here we are right back where we started. They're missing that piece of the puzzle.
Defensively, is there a blueprint now that Minnesota did what they did against them? Is that what teams are going to do, do you think, going forward? Just basically bull rush right up the middle? There was Latavius Murray on dives or anything else, no pressure from the interior. Is that kind of the recipe now to beat up the Redskins?
Well, keep in mind that in the second half, they were able to do a little bit better in that department. I think that's one of those things where you say, sure, that's the blueprint. Can every team do that? I don't know that every team has the skill set to do that. Obviously, the New Orleans Saints, a very good offensive team. They'll be able to win in almost whatever way they choose, the way that offense is humming right now. But I think beyond the Saints game, you look at the next few, and the Giants, the Cowboys, the Chargers, these are teams that are having struggles offensively. So to the extent that there is a blueprint out there, sure, but I don't know that those teams are going to be able to execute on that blueprint.
What's your take when players after a game talk about, well, Friday's practice wasn't good enough? I mean, you're never going to hear on Friday after a practice, I'm worried we didn't practice very well. And I kind of just chalk those things up and sometimes dismiss them. Where are you at on that?
Yeah, you know, there's always kind of that talking point after a game, and especially after a loss. I always feel like it comes from the top down usually. Sometimes, you know, Jay will come in there after the game, and you know, that'll be the point he wants to make after the game is, guys, this traces back to not giving enough effort on Friday. Then we go in and talk to everybody, and they say, oh, we didn't give enough effort on Friday. So, you know, the coaches have their own reason for those things. I was surprised they specifically cited the Friday practice because that's not a full contact padded practice. That's often more of a walkthrough than anything else. So the significance of that practice relative to preparing for an NFL game, I think, is pretty minimal.
Miguel, where are we at with Terrell Pryor? I mean, that Cleveland Browns rumor or the report that there was a trade offer for him, and doesn't seem to be real invested right now in things going on. Saying all the right things on Instagram and clapping for his teammates, but what's his situation? What's the latest there?
Well, I do think you have to commend him. Yeah, he certainly could have turned sour on this, and obviously this is going to cost him big time in free agency this year. But, he has not publicly complained at all about the lack of targets or anything of that nature, promising to get better. I think that's a great sign and certainly something other teams are going to look at this offseason. The fact that the Redskins keep him around tells me that they at least think they can do something with him, whether it's developing him through the week or having him involved in a couple of gimmick plays later in the year that they think may be big winners. Certainly if you had given up on him, you unload him on the spot. So it tells me they see something in him. But, man, the snap counts don't lie. You know, Ryan Grant comes out of the game, so the path would be paved there to give Terrell Pryor more snaps. And instead, you see the opposite. They go to a guy who just called up, got called up from the practice squad. So that's all you need to know about where he stands on this depth chart.
But made a better catch in the first target he got all season than Pryor has in half of a year on the field. And so in some ways...
I'm not saying they should have put Pryor in. They made the right call putting Moe in, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on your team. I wasn't saying you weren't. I guess my next question on Harris would be, what's the role moving forward for him? Does he get more ops?
Well, you certainly hope so. Obviously, he earned them. And, I mean, that's one of the great catches any Redskins player has made over the last few years. That was really phenomenal. You would hope they carve out a bigger role for him. I think Jamison Crowder is turning the corner a little bit in terms of being a little bit more reliable, a little bit more what they were hoping from him this season. So you want to work him into the mix. But you go back to injuries. Jordan Reed's not getting his passes right now. I like Vernon Davis, but I'd be inclined to say maybe give some of those targets to Mo Harris, see what he can do with them.
Michael, you're a good man and thorough. Appreciate it as always, pal.
Yes, sir.
Miguel Philippe, our guy, Richmond Times-Dispatch.
Tommy, let's talk Wizards, please. Nick Handsome is what his name should be, but Nick Ashew joins us in studio. The room
it should not be that
167% more handsome, and Nick has a nice pullover on with a little bit of zip to it that is fashionable yet casual. He leads the league in those kinds of outfits. Nick, three straight wins, holding some crappy teams under 100 points. Is it just beating some bad teams, or is there something better about the recipe with the Wizards?
You know, the thing is that they haven't beaten the bad teams before.
Right.
So I consider this already a victory just in that sense. Look, at this point in the season, you know that there are a lot of teams that struggle early. You find certain things that you're not doing right. You have to work the kinks out a little bit. Defense has been one of the things for the Wizards. They're just starting to get back to full strength with Markieff Morris out there. They still have plenty of issues. They didn't shoot the three ball well last night at all against Sacramento, but usually they're a team that's at least efficient from out there. Otto Porter's usually better. You can expect more from Morris out there, and he's only getting about 20 minutes a game for them right now. I think this is something that could at least set a trend for them. Sometimes it's about building confidence. You know, every once in a while you need the team to just say, hey, look, we can play defense. Okay, and then let's continue to do it.
Mike Scott, 26 minutes last night, 15-5 off the bench. Kelly Oubre, 12 points, 8 boards, 3 dimes, 22 minutes off the bench. Those two guys were great. Is the bench improving in front of our eyes?
Yeah, Oubre deserved more time last year, and when they made the trade for Bojan Bogdanović, it kind of took away from his minutes. It took away from the opportunities to get him out there. And one of the things that Oubre does really well is he's actually a good defender. He's a good perimeter defender. He's athletic, had just a nasty dunk last night. I mean, I'm hoping he's in the dunk contest this year because he'll be entertaining. But getting more opportunities for guys like Oubre, you'll see the development, you'll see the growth, you'll see the confidence. Not that he really lacks confidence, because apparently he's going to wear shorter shorts than he's already been wearing, because he's seen guys wearing shorter shorts than him. So that's, be prepared for that, guys. They may be, you know, we're going back to like the 1940s with the type of shorts that he wears. But yeah, look, they have certainly the talent on this bench. I like a guy like Frazier that's going to go out there and take charges and run the offense when Wall's not there. They have a lot of things to still work in a little bit when it comes to some of the chemistry of this team, but the bench should be better, and we're starting to see a little bit of that now.
Mahinmi's on the bench, though, and operation is bad.
It's really bad.
It really does hamper a lot of things. It just offensively, they're broken. Now, he rebounded well last night, so that's to his credit, but it's a struggle when he's in the game. You can't hide him.
I want shot blocking from Mahinmi so desperately. So desperately. A guy's averaging 0.38 blocks per game, and it's something that they're not doing whatsoever right now, and this team needs to learn how to defend the rim a lot better.
Why do you have a Cowboys-colored DC hat on?
So this is everybody seems to think that this is a funny joke, and I think you need to realize that I hate the Cowboys just like the rest of us. This is from our good buddy Tom Lavero. It's a DC Grays hat that he gave me, and when Tom Lavero gives me a present, I keep it, and I wear it. And I was honored to get a hat from him, and it's one of my favorite hats.
Wow.
Yeah, it is Cowboys colors, though, sort of. It says... It's just DC on
How
the front,
How did you
though.
Get that hat from Tom Lavero?
Well, you know, I know people, and I pulled some strings, and my
Tommy.
Buddy Tom Lavero hooked me up.
Come on, where are the hats at? Danny and I want DC Grays hats.
I
Thank
got
you,
T-shirts,
buddy.
All kinds of stuff, man. Of course.
Appreciate you joining
it looks
the blitz.
So good in hats.
Let's talk some puck. He has a lucky wife. Tom Daly is with us on Grant and Danny's Beltway Blitz. Tommy, tonight, 8 p.m. drop of the puck. The Predators host the Capitals. What do we need to know?
Happy Philip Forsberg Day.
Damn it.
Oh,
this is the day that we remind ourselves of maybe one of the worst trades in Capitals in NHL history. But there's a lot to get into with the Nashville Predators, where they are 4-1-1 at home in Smashville. So it could be one of the toughest barns in the NHL right now, where the Caps have to go into on a road trip where they're going to get Colorado in 2 days. So you need to take away one of those two games, right? You need to make sure you get at least one game on this two-game road trip. It's going to be tough for them tonight because Nashville has a great home ice presence.
Yeah, Nash Vegas is also a delightful city. Some good puck here of late, Thommy. 5 of 6. What's been the difference? Has anything clicked, or is it just, you know, one of the bounces their way type stretches?
I've tried to ask myself that same question because it was only, you know, a week ago where Neil and I were right here on the station doing Crashing the Net, which is tonight 6:30 to 7:45, right before puck drop and John Walton. But last week we were being over the top negative. We were saying there's no way to fix this. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing a team can do to fix it. And now here you are, like what you said, Danny, you know, they're 6-4 in their last 10, and it seems to be turned around. I think it was a part where maybe we were overreacting to some of the injuries, and it makes me feel a lot better that Brett Connolly is back in the lineup every day because you need him on the bottom six. But I don't know. I think hockey is just this bang-bang game, and we're never going to be able to predict it.
5-1 this month, by the way.
I'll take
that. You mentioned 6-4. They're 5-1 in November, and the big difference has been their defense. I think Madison Bowie's gotten a lot better really fast. I actually think Christian Juice has gotten a lot better really fast. That's not to say those guys are going to be great.
Yeah.
But the kids who have had to play, you're either going to sink or swim, and they're swimming.
Yeah, they are. And like what you mentioned, Grant, they were thrown into pretty much the lion's den, where the Caps were in a position where they didn't really have much of a choice. Their defensive core and the prospect list isn't that deep. But Christian Juice, I would say right now, is probably one of the shining stars of this team. I don't want to, because I never want to say that a seventh-round pick ended up evolving into a nice NHL piece, but he has really carried a lot of weight for this team.
And if they get Matt Niskanen back, they're going to be in a lot better shape here in the next week or so.
One more time tonight, Crashing that is when?
6:30 to 7:45, taking you up to puck drop right here on 106.7 The Fan.
Now, there are plenty of other hockey shows in town, right?
No, just this one. Hockey radio shows. Plenty of podcasts.
Ah.
But not radio shows.
Oh, this one and which other ones?
Just Crashing the Net.
No, I know. I got that, dude. Stop talking about Crashing
Everyone
the Net.
Understands
We're talking
Crashing
about the
Net.
Other shows.
Oh, I can't think of one.
Oh.
There aren't any.
That's real interesting.
That's real interesting.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. How many wins do we see for the Redskins the rest of the way? We'll get into that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.